Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 454th episode of the Puckle Podcast. Here I am today with my, I don't know if I want to say sleepy, but maybe jovial. Jovial is a nice word. That's your SAT word today. Jovial co-hosts. We've got Linian and Claude Nine.
Hello.
I know, it's going to be so
Hello.
Exciting.
Tired is accurate.
Tired for you is accurate. I don't know if that's accurate for Claude, though.
I'm always and never tired at the same time.
Yes. So you're an adult. That's what I'm hearing. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I made up in 2007, and we've kept it because of branding. We talk everything here from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. Today is actually something in between. I am very proud about that. Like, this is something that we don't really do that often. We don't talk about the animation of Pokemon that often. We're not talking about the main anime today, though, as you could probably tell by the topic. But without further ado, I guess we should go ahead and ask you guys what you've been up to lately and if anything new's been going on with life, the universe, and everything.
As far as with the Pokemon stuff, we just wrapped up Summer League. That was a bunch of fun.
We had a record number of people qualified too, by the way.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to watch.
Well, so, like, this is, like, record numbers in, like, lots of ways. So, like, history of Summer League is, we usually go, yeah, you need 8 badges. I've been doing Summer League since, like, Puckle started first.
Right.
When we brought it back, because, like, Bo wanted it back. In 2014, when we brought it back in 2014, it would be like, yeah, you need 8 badges. But then we'd be like, well, you really only need 5. Because that was the only way we could get enough people in the tournament.
Right.
And now it's just like, yeah, we've got like, I don't know, it's like 10 or 12 people like qualified with 8 badges. It's crazy. It's like 10 or 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
I was right. My range was good.
So, I finished doing the electric gym, which was fun because I alternated between sweeping people with Alolan Raichu and sweeping people with Thunder Punch Conkeldurr.
Ooh.
That was a lot of fun. I caught a random shiny. I was just trying to avoid a Kingler to get to a raid beacon, and I didn't. And then the Kingler was shiny.
What are the odds?
That's a thing.
Yeah, patiently waiting for the alleged hidden ability capsule so I can make it a good Gigantamax Statue of Liberty.
I don't even know if it's good. It's still
a good version of that.
Kingler's cool though. It's one of my favorite Gen 1 Pokemon. The problem with Kingler is it's a water type and everything else is a water type.
Mm-hmm.
And its coverage is no?
What coverage?
It's not no, it's just could be better.
Tell me what moves it has outside of normal and water type moves. I think it gets Brick Break, maybe.
I think it gets like X Scissor too.
And Rock Slide. And that's it.
That's not a bad move pool.
But
I'm
it has
into
Sheer
it.
Force and nothing to use Sheer Force with.
Rock Slide.
Rock Slide.
That's basically it.
Crab Hammer.
Crab Hammer.
Crab Hammer doesn't have a bonus effect, though.
Liquidation.
Liquidation. Yeah.
Point stands, Kingler is not great.
Waterfall? Waterfall?
Is Waterfall? Waterfall?
It does not get Waterfall because I've used one because I was like,
what?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I was using one in a game. I was like,
Liquidation
perfect.
Anyway.
I've now got a Waterfall person. And then I got to that badge. Nope.
Let me see what else it gets.
It has Liquidation. Okay, but Claude, tell us your story. Tell us about your life.
Hi. Well, So it all started, you know, many moons ago.
Many moons ago.
So I've been busy with PDL and Poke of the Episode battles and editing. Yeah.
King of editing. Well, sub king of editing, because you're not Ozzy.
No, I'm not Ozzy. I'm his little henchman. I like to see it as if Ozzy is like the head of like one of Team Aqua. I'm one of the admins.
There's a guy for that. Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that actually fits pretty well for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're Matt. Mm-hmm.
I'm Matt.
I can be Giovanni and Ozzy can be Archie. I'm into it.
I just picked a team, but yeah, sure.
I think that just makes Sigma call res.
Yeah. Oh, Sigma's absolutely call res. Absolutely. We need to cosplay now.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I don't know how much I would pay to see Ozzy in Archie cosplay, but it's definitely more than $0.
I would be super into the idea of us each getting assigned some kind of canonical villain from the Pokemon universe that we all cosplay as that. That would be hilarious.
Next PuckleCon.
Next time we get together. Yeah.
Oh, boy. The next time.
That sounds like a fun time. I'm really into that idea.
And then we go to a bar.
Oh, well, we should absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. 100%. Go to a bar. I'm going to bring a little Persian plushie on like a leash. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm going to drag it around. And then I'll just...
We'll demand water and more water. And then not enough water.
Not drink it. Just leave it there.
Can I get another water? But sir, you have some right in front of you. I asked for more water.
There's a cycle here. You're supposed to give the glasses back. So no, more water.
No, more water. The Pokemon need places to live.
Every time you get a glass, you just drop a goldfish in it.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's great.
That's absolutely what we should do. I finished at my gym battles this week. I haven't done too much. I meant to stream, but I was just like, I was really out of it earlier this week. So I didn't get the chance to do that. But we will finish up that Nuzlocke grind session, I promise. I absolutely need to do that so we can go take on the Elite Four. I want to do it real bad.
We're so close to the end.
We're so close to the end, and I want to finish it so we can go to like another game like Soul Silver or something. Like, I think that would be a good time, just going through Soul Silver and taking gears.
Yeah, but that's going to be a miserable game to grind at the end.
I want to go in order.
Order, but only play the remakes.
We can skip Gen 3.
Gen 3, I could go either way on playing the remake or playing the OG version.
Or Emerald.
Yeah. I like both very much so, like as an idea, because Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire is at least good because like at least you get the experience share, like modern.
And you never need to grind anything.
And you never need to grind. Like, that's great. I'm not against that idea.
But that ruined Pokemon. It's now quote unquote easy because you don't spend hours fighting Minun.
I have never been the person that complained about that.
Like, I've never understood the complaint.
I have never been the person that complained about that. I do understand the complaint. We can't turn it off now.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I understand that. I like having the option there, and I think that's minimal effort to provide that option. But I wouldn't be surprised if at this point it's kind of like baked into the code. Like, that's just how leveling works, and they can't like simply just like turn it on and off as they did in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if that's like a difference. I don't know the source code. Somebody else who does can tell me that and tell me I'm wrong. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, just with like their history of how they code.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop here, and we've got some news to talk about, so let's kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in...
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got almost exciting things to talk about. So, this is such a dry spell. I don't remember a dry spell of Pokemon news like this since 2015. I'm going to be completely honest. But to be fair, like it's like this for just video game news in general, too, right now. Particularly Nintendo. So, because like the hot topic is Pikmin 3's coming out again.
Whoa. Huzzah!
Huzzah! Thatch is more excited for that than he should be. Moving on, in the Pokemon sphere, the next batch of Pokemon Journeys episodes will release on Netflix in the US on September 11th. So get ready for another 12 episodes of the Pokemon anime on Netflix. I do really enjoy that it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. My only problem is it's only 12 episodes at a time because every 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
They intend for you to just watch one episode a week, and that is absolutely not how I watch them.
No.
Not at all.
That bothers me. I want to be able to sit down, watch them. I wish I could do the Saturday morning cartoons. I miss Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I absolutely miss the Saturday morning cartoons. I want to sit down with a bowl of Fruity Pebbles and just watch some cartoons. I wish I could, but I can't because I'm an adult. That's just like a thing, because it used to be an event when you were a child, Saturday morning cartoons. That is no longer a thing. Cartoons are just on all the time.
Well, I remember getting up at like 9 a.m., getting your food, and then watching straight to like noon.
You could start at like 7 a.m. and go until noon. It was crazy. Like, you get up, you get your cereal, and you can watch 5 hours of just, like, great kids' television.
I remember watching, Pokemon Adventures? Was that Hoenn?
Pokemon Advance.
Advance. I clearly remember watching Advance and even Diamond and Pearl doing that.
I remember getting up, like, as a kid and just, like, being super hyped for that. You get up, you watch from, like, 7 to noon, you're really excited, and you've got, like, all the schedules for all of the different Saturday morning cartoon blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know which channel to switch to for which show at what time. I remember that a lot. Without too much on reminiscing, let's talk about all of the disappointing things that GameStop did this week.
So there was almost a cool thing, and cool is in just like 5 sets of air quotes.
Yeah.
The upcoming non-shiny, just standard Gigantamax, Copperajah, Dynamax Crystal event for the U.S. has been canceled. It was supposed to run from the 14th through the 31st of August.
Dynamax Crystal event?
So, yes. So there was... You might not remember. So there's a... So in Watchtower Ruins, there's just like a weird tower there. And there are items called Dynamax Crystals that you throw in and they start a very specific encounter. If you bought the double pack, I think you got a crystal in each game.
If you bought the double pack, you got one for like Larvitar and another one for Dino.
Yes.
It was something like that. That way you could get them early game and you'd go through the game with them and you could have a good time.
But they've been heavily underutilized since.
Yes, they have been zero utilized since. Zero.
I think this is the second one you could get in North America, period.
Yes. Outside of the, like, dual pack, this is the first time they've been used.
in the U.S., Japan has had a couple more of them. But there is no information if there will be rescheduled. I cannot imagine I care if it gets rescheduled. We've had, 5 chances for the raid up on Copperajah?
This was delayed, right? This was already delayed. Because this was supposed to be a tie-in with the TCG release of the... last set, not this most recent set, the set before this. So it was already delayed because of COVID, and so they delayed it again, obviously, because of COVID. And it's not like we just had like a raid event for Steel and Rock types anyway, and Copperajah was part of that.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know that I care.
I don't. There are other events going on worldwide. If you're not in Japan or Korea, they're not anything of note. So huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shiny Celebi and Zerud are out, I guess. That's the thing. We talked about that last week, though. If you can get your hands on them, the codes will actually work and you'll get a U.S. Zerud, just as a heads up. Or I guess a North American Zerud, not a U.S. Zerud. That's very narrow-minded of me. I apologize, Canada.
I'll need to, get my hands on one of those codes then.
I like how you correct yourself from North America and then name one other country.
That's the joke. Also, I know our demographics.
Well, it's also Canada because they are north of America.
Right. 10 Little Men, I'm so sorry.
I'm not.
Oh, Claude, tell us about what you can do with your VR headsets.
Oh, the Pokemon Virtual Fest? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. What a joy.
It's active and running. It's running until August 31st, but it's Japan only. Apparently, there is some way to get into it.
Yeah, there's some apps that you can use to get into it. I don't want to go into like the details here, but you can do it. I haven't heard anything that's like mind blowing about it.
No, it's just a virtual fest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in Japanese, so good luck.
I wish it wasn't in Japanese.
So I think every game should just have a language option from now on.
It's not even a game. It's supposed to be like, hey, go to Pokemon Land. Here you go.
Yeah, but it's still a game.
In video game news, Play Pokemon has started its own podcast in cooperation with TPCI. It's just a bunch of TPCI people, actually. And it's hosted by Jay Blake. We all know who that is.
Who?
I don't know who that is.
It's a fairly narrow focus. It just discusses the VGC meta, and also talks about, I believe they do TCG as well. It's essentially all the people who used to be judges that ended up working for TPCI. That's who
I want talking to me.
I mean, I'm okay with this.
I mean, it's content. People seem to enjoy it. The comments were full of people who never heard of a Pokemon podcast before, so maybe it'll get them more interested and they'll accidentally stumble on us. That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
Sure. I have no strong feelings about this.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm not scared. I'm not like worried or anything. IGN did something similar like back when Pokemon Go dropped. We're still here. IGN's not, though, to be fair. They did like 3 episodes and they were out.
We'll see how long this Play Pokemon lasts. I don't think they realize how much work goes into this.
That's all there is there. We should talk about Pokemon Go now.
Oh boy.
The most exciting of topics. Kick us off, Lydian.
Fantastic. As part of the Ultra Unlock Bonus Challenge, Unova Week is active and will last until the 21st, so you've got a couple of days to get through that if you're listening to this on Monday. Various Unova Pokemon will appear more frequently, and a bunch of other ones can be hatched out of 7-kilometer eggs. Everyone's favorite mechanic. Mm-hmm. 7-kilometer eggs.
I can't believe like how much of it just boiled down to the eggs, which is really upsetting. Like, they've really leaned into it in the past year. Eggs, yes. This is how we make our money. Incubators.
We wish that we had put a master's gacha in the game, but we didn't, so here we are.
Yeah. And even then, like, you're limited on the number of spins on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that you can, like, instantly hatch all of the eggs. You can only get so many 7-kilometer eggs a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can only open so many gifts a day.
Yep.
There's a limit on that.
And they're not even all going to have an egg, so.
Yeah, it's a really stupid lottery system. If it was pay to win, I don't know that I'd be as upset. I'll be completely honest with you. I've never been upset with that model in Pokemon. 100%. Like, everybody's like, oh, Pokemon's making us pay for more Pokemon in Sword and Shield. Yeah, let me do it. I'm more than happy to. Here, have my $30 so I can have Nidoking back. I'll happily do that.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of Pokemon have been added. The Sewaddle line, Emolga, Buffalant, and then I think I might be forgetting one. Oh, yeah, we can finally get Whimsicott in the game.
Yay!
I can hear the cheering all the way from Italy.
That's why we can't see her right now. That's why she's not on the show. She's too busy. I'm trying to get them.
Try to hatch all those eggs.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the wild. The cottonies are in the wild.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
These are on the wild. The only one that's weird is Buffalant, because Buffalant's technically a regional, and it's only around New York, of all places. Yeah.
Oh, because Buffalo, I guess.
Yeah.
No, because of Unova.
Still.
Unova's based on New York City.
I was thinking Buffalo, New York, because Buffalant, Buffalos.
I digress. Claude, tell us about the next community days.
Oh, well, there are community days that are coming up for September and October, and they're going to be decided by the viewers at home. Anyone that wants. Yes, it's by the players. And there are 4 options you get to vote for, and I will be saying these in the exclamation that Pimagee has left out for me. Porygon, Charmander, Grimer, and Caterpie. So, we don't know how, but I'm assuming it'll be the top 2 of those votes. You can clearly see what Pimagee is voting for.
Porygon's the right answer. Like, 100%.
I've had so many Porygons in, like, my 10k eggs that I don't ever want to see one again.
So, my biggest frustration was, like, when they dropped evolution items in the game when Gen 2 started, I got so many upgrades and no other evolution items for the longest time.
Yep.
And I was just like, are you kidding me?
It's like those dragon scales that are useless.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got so many. I wish you could, like, sell them for coins or do something useful. Like, even just, like, handing them to another player would be great. Because it's not, like, ruining their economy, because you can't, like, go and buy them with coins. You know what I mean?
I think that would be a really interesting feature, is if they did, like, a buyback for items. Not necessarily all items, but, like, at least the evolution items, where it's...
Or even like a Settlers of Catan type deal, where, like, I could take 3 upgrades and trade them in for, like, 1 Sunstone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That would be really cool.
Or have them spit out stardust if you sell it. So
Either stardust is fine too.
Because it's just useless bag space that I don't want to throw away.
Yeah, no, I think this is absolutely stupid, and I hope they fix it. So I guess it's going to be the top two vote getters. Go have fun, I guess. Can't wait for Porygon Community Day followed by Charmander Community Day, because that's absolutely what's going to happen. Well, so it's for new players, so I totally get it. Charmander Community Day was like 3 years ago.
We also, I have a feeling that we're going to want some more Charmander candy with Mega Evolution coming, and if that thing has two of them.
I'm hoping by the time they get to the Charmander Community Day, like Mega Evolution's already put in, but who knows.
No. That's asking way too much.
I'll like rage for a week when it happens, but it'll be fine. I'll get over it. There's a few things in Puckle news. One, like we talked about at the beginning, Summer League is over by the time you're listening to this. Sorry, you didn't get enough badges. It's your fault, not mine. Thank you for those of you who did participate. The playoffs are going to be starting this week or next week. Thank you for that. It was a really big, great turnout this year. Just in tournaments in general, we've had like really great turnout this year. I appreciate everybody who takes the time to do that and hang out. We're also going to be doing, I want to just remind everybody that next week, the Puckle podcast will be live over on twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast around 10 a.m. August 22nd.
Ah, so Saturday.
Saturday. Yes, I should have said that. Thank you, Claude, for the, mm-hmm. for the clarification. And we're going to be raising money for Child's Play. It's going to be a long stream. I don't know when it's going to end, but it's going to start at 10. And my hope is to make it at least to 10 p.m. ETT again. So we'll put out schedules on our socials throughout the week for this as we get everything nailed down. We had a really good turnout for the last one, and I hope you guys just come out. Even if you can't donate, just come and hang out. That's going to help us get more people to come into the stream and hopefully donate to the cause as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, it's time to quiz our co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. So let's head on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means Claude and Linian are going to be operating together as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions brought to us from our Discord and nowhere else. Questions have been received from nowhere else because I don't compile them. Our lovely friend Liger does. And if you send them in an iTunes review, Liger's not checking there. Or the email. So check them out over on the Discord. So Claude and Linian, like I said, are going to be operating as a team. They have 5 questions. Each question's worth 1 point apiece, except for, I guess, now the 2 times they're not. They do also have a hint that they can use to help them figure out the questions as well. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to ask them these questions. There's a possible total of 8 points. They're in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $25 credit to PokemonCenter.com. And so we're going to go at $20 credit. Did I say 25 again?
You said 25. I got so excited.
It's 20. It's 20. It's 20. Okay. Don't get excited. Okay. Get your excitement back down. And
this is the first time I get to compete, so I'm excited no matter
and
what.
And you as a listener, if you get your question read, you'll be put in a drawing for $20 credit over at AnimeGravy.com if you're in the U.S., So on that note, we are going to go ahead and start up these questions. Our first question this week is going to be from the Muffin Man 19.
Wow.
Okay.
In Gen 8, what is the only TM Mew can learn that will always fail?
Is Attract a TM? In Gen 8?
In Gen 8? I think it's a TM in Gen 8. That would make sense because it doesn't have a gender.
Yeah, and therefore the coding just fails on that.
Because I know they liked keeping Attract as a TM throughout the generations.
For some unknowable reason.
Because of Whitney, and only because of Whitney. I think Attract is a TM, though.
Yeah, that's the only question. I would say Attract.
Attract is correct. You guys are 1-for-1. All Ooh. Right. Our next question is going to be from Trainer Gray. This is a manga question. Hope you're ready, fans.
No. Oh, we're dead.
Yep. In the Pokemon Adventures manga, the English translation, what is Green's first Pokemon? Green being the female character, in the English translation. That's who she is, because green and blue get flipped between the Japanese and English translations.
Wait, is she the one that had the Eevee?
I don't know.
But or was she Squirtle or something like that? Like, I remember being one of those, like, Pokemon.
Maybe, but I thought she also had a Ditto because of,
She does.
Infamous panel.
So, I'm trying to remember, like, the Pokemon, like, Adventures game that someone made off of the manga.
Is there, like, there really a ROM for that?
That's cool. there's a fan-made game that basically goes through
the first
part of it. And I remember watching someone go through it, and I do not remember what she had, but I do remember the Ditto, and I remember a Squirtle. That's all I remember.
Oh, no.
No.
When you were talking about that, it reminded me from the thing. No. In that ROM, her highest level is always Jigglypuff.
Oh, so maybe it's Jigglypuff then.
Yeah.
I think that's our best get.
Is Jigglypuff your answer?
Yes. Yep.
Jigglypuff is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. It's a whole thing about her, like, using it to float in the manga. And then eventually when she gets Blastoise, she uses it as a jetpack.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Where is this design, Pokemon?
Yeah, the manga's got some of the craziest stuff in it. The manga's
talk
great.
About like those like travel Pokemon or HMs, yeah. Jetpacking Blastoise that just shows up and flies you to the top of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need one way for Venusaur to serve as fly, and then we get the
no Venusaur is cut. Own. Oh, the pedal. Venusaur's pedal and like vine whips can just helicopter.
All right, Gen 9, you get to choose your starter, but only as a transport.
All right, so our next question is going to be from Picard. Its Pokemon Sword entry states, it moves with blinding speed and lobs poison at its foes. Featuring this Pokemon as a main character is a surefire way to make a movie or a comic popular. Who's that Pokemon?
That feels like a bug type. It moves at blinding speeds, lobbing poison.
Why do I think this is Toxicroak for some reason?
I think Toxicroak is not a bad.
Let me think.
The other.
So blinding speed.
Yes.
What is stupidly fast?
I don't know that Zeraora spits out poison.
It can do Sludge Bomb, but like I'm trying to think. Like, can you repeat the Dex entry again? There was something else in that I want to
think. It moves with blinding speed and lobs poison at foes. Featuring this Pokemon as a main character is a surefire way to make a movie or comic popular.
What looks like a superhero?
Well, it's got, because the whole thing about superheroes in Pokemon, like, they're heavily tied to bug type.
Oh, a Selgor.
Yes, we're gonna go down a Selgor.
All right, Excelgor is correct.
Yes.
It is correct. You get 2 points for that because I was about to give you the second entry, but you did not need it. So good for you. All right. So that's that. You guys are 4 for 3 right now. Next question has a multiple choice answer. You can get up to 2 points on this one. And I don't know how this got in here, but this question is from P. McGee. This is from P. McGee. Don't know how he has access to that Discord, P. McGee.
I think he just DMs them directly to Viger.
I think he dumps them in the chat because he misses it so much. all right, so I guess... Oof, so there's 5 answers here. I'm going to make it worth 1 point per 2 answers.
Okay,
that seems fair.
So you need 2 answers to get a point. So this is from P. McGee. What are the 5 female exclusive middle stage Pokemon?
So Nidorina.
That is 1, yes.
Chansey.
That is 2, that is a point.
Okay. Middle stage.
This is interesting.
They're only female.
They're only female. Yeah.
What's the middle flower, the one that has the laser?
The middle flower that has the laser?
AZ had it.
It's not Florgis.
Floette.
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 That is another, yes. You need one more.
Okay. Is the stupid trick room user in VGC is gender locked, isn't it? Hat.
Well, that would be Hatrem then.
Hatrem.
That is correct. That is four. That is 2 points. You guys have maxed it out.
No. I want the fifth one though. I want to try and guess it.
Guess it right now, or I'm gonna say it so we can move on.
Oh gosh. Trying to think.
Is Steenie gender locked?
Steenie is the answer. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Boom. I was thinking like the Sarina line.
That is correct. You guys are now at oh my gosh, I don't know how many points anymore. You're
all
at
of them.
Six.
All of them.
Six
all
for
points.
Four. Six for
six
four.
Six for four. Here we go.
You guys can be the first 8 point trivia winners if you get this next question, which is from Sleeve McDial.
Oh no.
Which ice-type Pokemon has the lowest base speed stat?
Well, Bergmite comes to mind immediately, but I don't...
What else is really, really slow? A lot of ice-types are slow. I do think it could be Bergmite, just because...
What's the baby moth that started a cult?
Oh, Snom? I don't think it's Snom, though.
No, because that thing has a total of, like, I want to say, like, less than 100 BST.
Oh, then it might be Snom.
Because Bergmite has almost 30, and I can't think...
Okay, that's too high. That's way too fast, then, for an Ice-type. I think it might be Snom. I think you're right.
Because I remember Snom has less than 200 base stat. I don't remember its total, but it's probably Snom.
Then if Snom has less than 200, then yeah, it definitely has to be that.
Yeah, especially because this is the game where people find the Pokemon they want us to say and then figure out how they can get us to say it.
Okay.
So tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know if that's true, but it's like I never thought about it that way until now.
So for the viewers, Snom, 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 Snom,
Snom, Snom, Snom.
Snom is your
answer. Is Snom?
Yeah.
Snom is correct with a base speed of 20. The next is Feel with 25, and both Bergmite and Avalog at 28.
Oh, gosh. I never would have gotten Feel.
So Snom, so that gives you guys, you are the first to get 8 points from Puckle's Poke Quiz. That does change up our trivia rankings pretty significantly because everybody's like, just like one game on the board.
Woo!
So let me go ahead. Oh, Claude, you're not on the board. You're not on the board.
I'm on the board now.
Your name's not even on the board.
Well, this is my first episode.
Oh!
Now it is. Yeah, it's his first. Well, technically, you were on that one not too long ago.
Yeah, but.
So we right now in first place have Linian with 13 points. In second place, we have Claude with 8 points. In third place, we have a two-way tie between P. McGee and R. Sigma with 7 points. In fifth place, we have a two-way tie between Whimsicott and Seth Bilo with 6 points. And in seventh place, we have a two-way tie between Sublime and Basket with 5 points. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. But that is Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to take a short break, yell at you about an iTunes review, and kick it on over to the topic. We've got another iTunes review this week from NYJets42. Just started listening to this, but I'm already in love with this podcast. Loving each and every one of the segments, and I'm learning a lot about something I thought I already knew a lot about already. Wanted to get back into the competitive scene. This is also really helpful. Keep going and being awesome. Well, thank you for that. If you would like to leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, we would really appreciate it. It helps more people find the show, helps us just grow and become a better community. But we're going to kick things on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is... animation outside of the main anime is the way we're going to phrase it. That's probably not the episode title that you read, because I probably came up with a better way to write it. But that's what we want to talk about today, because Twilight Wings ended the other week, just not too long ago. And it was fine. That's 100% the answer. It existed. It was all right. That's kind of how I just described Twilight Wings as a whole. Yeah, it was all right.
Nothing egregiously bad, nothing amazing.
No, I really liked it. It was a cute, heartwarming story.
It was all right. I never felt for John. Like, there's just episodes that just don't have him in it, like, at all. And then, like, they try to tie it in at the beginning and the end. It's very confusing because, like, you have John in episode one, and then literally you don't see John again until episode six.
Well, it was the stories from the Galar region set with the framing device of the taxi service.
And, like, that was kind of cool. One, I think it's too short to really do anything real justice.
That is very fair.
I thought it was too short just because if you look at the previous, like, animation things we got, like, Generations, I think, is the golden standard. Like, 100%. That's golden standard. And I didn't realize until we, like, started talking about this earlier today that we were going to do this, that they just keep progressively getting longer up until this one. Because, like, they have, like, one every gen. Like, they try to hype up that gen with, like, oh, hey, we're going to do a cool little anime thing. And Generations was the one where they're just like, yeah, here's everything before Gen 7. And they, like, hyped it up one a week. And those were all really solid.
Well, because it filled in all those, like, plot points that you didn't know about.
It's not even that it filled in plot points. It was just sections of the games that we had all played. And it made them awesome moments.
I don't think I realized when playing through, like, Gold and Silver that Silver was Giovanni's son.
That's because you're not a real Pokemon fan.
Wow.
That's a joke, obviously. For one, I knew it for two reasons. The manga really lays into that really heavy.
Okay, so if you don't read the manga. Yes.
Well, that's if you don't read the manga, but if you ever did the Celebi event in HeartGold SoulSilver, that was also a big thing in the HeartGold SoulSilver, like, moments. Like, they had, like, a flashback where you went back in time and you saw Silver, like, leave Giovanni. He's like, see you later, Dad. And you get to witness that. And then you get to battle Giovanni, and then you go back to the real time.
I'm trying to remember, because I'm like, I didn't read the anime, but I read the manga, but I knew. It was like, oh, because I read the synopsis on Cerebi and never read the manga.
I have up into Gold, Silver, Crystal in the manga in hard print. I mean, it's cool to have, like, as a Pokemon fan, it's nice to have that piece of memorabilia. I honestly think to this day, and I do agree with the people who wrote it as well, like Satoshi Tajiri has come out and said that the best, like, representation of the Pokemon world in his mind is represented in the manga. I think the manga's okay up until the end of, like, Emerald. And then after that, they switch publishing companies. The story's no longer continuous, really. And it apparently gets weird. I could be wrong. I think it wasn't until recently, though, that they finished the Black and White 2 manga series.
That is true, which is also why merch kept coming out in Japan for Black and White.
Yes.
Because it was still an active property.
Like, that's nuts to think about, that it just finished. I think, like, this past year. Within the past year, it finished, if I remember. I don't know. 2020's been a really long year. And I don't know what year things happened in, or what month, or what day. It's very confusing to me, and I don't know.
Yesterday was somehow March and also July, but definitely not August.
Maybe for you.
It's the fastest going slow year of my life.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very confusing. I'll wake up on Fridays and be like, what did I do earlier this week? I feel like I haven't accomplished anything this week. But whatever, it's fine. Back to animation.
But if we're talking about animation that's not, you know, like the anime, but still animation, we have to talk then about Pikachu's Winter Vacation.
I don't know that we need to talk about that at all.
What are you talking about? It was a couple episodes back in Johto that just side-ranted the actual anime with Ash and a whole bunch of, you know, Christmas-themed events.
I don't know that we need to talk about anything with Ash or, like, or Pikachu in it. I'm also scared of what Journeys means. I don't know, really. Journeys scared me when, like, the moment that you heard some random lady's voice say nice when Go caught a Pokemon. That bothered me. Like, I was irked more than I should have been.
I legitimately didn't notice. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't
My
notice.
My wife and I were watching it, and we heard it, and we were just like, what was that? We rewinded and watched it again. Like, because we thought it might have been, like, Ash saying nice or something, but it's definitely not Ash.
I think it's the voice person who did Ash.
They just said nice. And I'm just like, because they're trying to copy Pokemon Go. And I'm like, this hurts me on a very emotional level.
If we're not going to talk about that, we do need to talk about the Mystery Dungeon animation special that came out when Explorers did.
I remember that.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I remember that.
That legitimately sold me on those games way more than the games ever did.
Yes.
I don't know why. I felt I still feel attached to that.
No, it was really cute. This might not count, but like Chronicles was kind of the same way too.
I really liked Chronicles.
Chronicles was really good. Like, I wish we got more stuff like that.
Which is where you get Pikachu's winter vacation.
Pikachu's winter vacation is not part of Pokemon Chronicles.
It is. It's episode 22.
No. No. Don't lie to me.
I'm not.
No, Pokemon Chronicles, why did you let me down? Pokemon Chronicles, why did you let me down? There's no way. Oh, no, it is. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Watching Thatch get betrayed live on air.
I hurt so bad. Pokemon Chronicles, what did you do? There's so many good Pokemon Chronicles episodes that aren't that. Like, the Legend of Thunder series was really good.
Yeah.
I remember seeing just part of one episode of the Legend of Thunder series as a kid and not knowing it was the manga and just being so thrown.
It's not the manga. It's literally its own thing.
Oh, dear.
It's its own thing. Huh. Yeah. That's why Raikou never got a movie, because Legend of Thunder existed. It's really disappointing. Then they had the two episodes where it was like Misty and Brock, like post Johto.
Yep.
And so like you actually get to see Brock go, I'm going to go to Hoenn and party it up. Then, yeah, no, Chronicles was it. Chronicles is the life, man. And then you've got like the random Gary Yoke episode where he is a professor and like they're dealing with an Aerodactyl.
Does anyone else remember the mastermind of Mirage Pokemon?
I remember that.
Just me.
I remember that.
Mirage
they
Pokemon?
They changed the voice cast for it, and it's still one of the most cursed things I can think back.
Well, that's when they switched the voice cast, because that was tied into like movie 9 almost. It was like, it was like this weird, it was like the Mewtwo Returns in between movie 8 and movie 9. And so for those of you at home, between Lucario and Mystery of Mew and Manaphy Super Saiyan Ash movie. It was this like, it was like this weird thing where like they purposely made it so like they wouldn't remember anything after it was over. Then they like bring back memories from every single movie for some reason. That movie was a trip, man. Mystery of Mirage Island. That was a trip. I don't need to watch that one again. It was really bad too. And it, like you said, it was when they switched voice actors. So like it was very jarring. Because I think there was a way you could get that in addition to Lucario and Mystery of the Mew at the time. Like you could get like as a dual pack both of those.
Well, I know it was on Cartoon Network at least like when it was airing. Because I sat down to watch it and I was like, nope. I don't buy this.
It was just like, that one was really jarring because it might have come out before like they started rolling the episodes for season 9. That might have been what it was. But yeah, that one was very jarring. I do not want to go back.
I remember as a kid spending lots of time, at least specifically with, I think it was Pokemon 2000, where they had that short little Pikachu adventure short beforehand.
With the Pichu brothers, or
No. The one in Pokemon 2000 is when like they hyped up a bunch of like Gen 2 Pokemon, like Elekid,
yeah,
and stuff like that. They like hyped up a bunch of them, dude. I miss the anime being a tool to market me stuff that's coming up. I miss that so much because it happened so much all of the time, especially like up until Gen 4, it happened all of the time. You got Kecleon like a year before they even finished the Johto anime and before Ruby and Sapphire even came out. You had Blaziken at the end of Johto. You had
Bonsly at the end of Hoenn.
You had Bonsly at the end of Hoenn. You had Munchlax at the end of Hoenn. Gen 1 was very crazy about it too. Like we had Ho-Oh episode 1. And then you also had Meryl with Tracy during Pokemon Season 2. I don't know how to...
Orange Islands.
But then at the end of Orange Islands, nobody really remembers this. Tracy like you did sketches, and he's like, hey, I did this sketch of this Pokemon I saw. And it's like obviously the head of an Elekid. And he's like showing people. He's like, I don't even know what Pokemon this is. Ha ha ha. And then like obviously the most egregious example is Togepi, but like... Like, I remember that, and I miss that kind of stuff, where they would, like, hype up the next generation in the anime. That, I miss that a lot. Meltan kind of captured that magic again, but then I think the execution of Meltan itself was very poorly done.
Yes.
Even now, I think the execution of Meltan is very poorly done.
I like how it randomly just showed up and go. I thought that was just super cool.
I know, I love that. I thought that was a really cool thing, like, when it showed up and it was like, oh, it's a Ditto or whatever. That was a really cool thing to see happen. They timed it really well because they did it at the same time as a Community Day.
Right.
They did it, like, right at the end of a Community Day. It was very cool. I appreciate that they did that. I don't appreciate Meltan, but I appreciate that. Because I think it's stupid that Meltan never got, like, a proper, like, in-game evolution method. I still think that's dumb. It just shows that they really want to, like, wrap Pokemon Go around everything. But yeah, go ahead. Animation. Yes.
Animation. I was going to go back to Twilight Wings, but.
Sure.
What about it?
We should probably do that.
The one issue I have with something like Twilight Wings that's only like 7 episodes is it teases all the stuff they could do with the animation and
oh my gosh,
the anime,
right?
And they don't. Because I'm like, I want to follow more of these stories. Like, I want to know how someone like goes from a like 10-year-old kid or however old they are now into being like they are now a gym leader, how they compete through getting to be like through all this.
I think this shows honestly that there could be a market for like a more mature Pokemon anime.
Yes.
You can make things that are family friendly but still appeal to adults, and the Pokemon anime itself I think has lost that. I think it's come back a lot from like its low.
Yes.
But it's not where it was like Gen 1, right? Like Gen 1, you could probably watch that as an adult and get some laughs. Team Rocket has some legitimately good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Where it's just like they make a lot of adult jokes that kids can't pick up on. I think even if you like look back at like every generation that we got something in, because like it started in Gen 5 where we got like the really cool Black 2, White 2 trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That was really sick. That's like a super hype 5 minutes. Of just,
it,
like, things...
It is.
Yeah. It's a super hype 5 minutes, and you're just like, wow, this is really cool. I want an anime like this. Nope. Can't have that. Because, like, all you need to do is literally take the story of the game, story of the manga, and just run through that. Do that verbatim. Almost. And, like, add in some action scenes. Like, that's all you need to do. Because right now, I don't think Pokemon feels that much... Like, I wouldn't compare the Pokemon anime to something like Naruto or something like... Honestly, any other anime. Like... The description I like to use, at least in the past, was like the Pokemon anime today. It made a transformation from anime to Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It made that transformation like somewhere around Hoenn. I would love to see like a scene where like it's like Lucario running on rooftops to try to catch a guy or something like that. That'd be crazy. I mean, Gen 6 are the same thing. Hyping up Gen 6, we had Pokemon Origins, where it's just like, I would love to just watch like this.
Yes.
Like a whole playthrough of Red Version. I would love
that. That's the thing is, I think at this point, we're just tired of Ash.
I think the problem more is that people like us, like we're obviously, I don't know that TPCI cares about us. I'm going to be completely honest. Well, I'll put that out there. I don't know if they care about us as a demographic, but I think we're a demographic that they can grab a hold of more so. And I think there is room for just an anime that's just like, here's the story of each game. Let's play through it. Here's the story. We added some cool action scenes to it. And you can make every season like 20 episodes. And you could probably finish the whole game in 20 episodes.
You can even do less and do one gym badge an episode.
Yeah, we don't need fluff. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need fluff. You can do 22 episodes, I think, is enough to like do all of like the memorable things and still like add in some embellishment. Right.
Because
like if you think about Gen
plot.
1, it's just like, here's your starter Pokemon, and maybe you do like Viridian Forest or something at the same time. Then you could be like, hey, Gym Badge, Mount Moon, Cerulean City.
I'd even be excited just to see, like, take your classic just like detective show and just put it in the Pokemon world for like a couple.
That
would be cool to follow like what Officer Jenny's around with and just see with like.
I feel like the implication of crime in the Pokemon world is not something they want to do.
Just an example, but yes.
Petty crimes. Oh no, a Mankey stole a citrus berry. And that's every
episode.
We're allowed
to have
like, that's,
evil
I don't know
bosses
if that,
that
want to
destroy the world.
A
petty crime, no, that's too much.
Give me a sitcom that's supposedly a sitcom airing in the Pokemon world, and I think I'd be down. It's very meta, but the level of like, yeah, no, this is what people sit down to watch at 4 p.m.
Is this where we go back to like the Dr. Odino?
MD? Oh, no.
Yes.
Like, there's definitely room for stuff. Like, I think there's room for stuff because They've really drifted away from some of this cool stuff in the past. Like, they used to do a lot of original stuff, even, like, in the Hoenn anime. Like, it was Sinnoh. Sinnoh's where it died, where they weren't doing, like, as much cool original stuff in the anime. And I think we could... I think they could do it. I think that it would be cool. It wouldn't be... You could just sell that anime as, like, an anime, and it would work out really well. I don't know how you would make money on it, but I'm sure they could find a way.
I'm sure they would.
I like where they're going with Journeys, because it doesn't seem... It's not the traditional Ash route of, oh, we gotta collect all the badges and go to the Elite Four.
They kind of tried to do that in Alola, where it was just like, oh, yes. I don't need to... Where he's not collecting things.
And I really appreciated that for...
I appreciated that for a hot minute, but then Alola got really boring.
Yeah, it just took way too long to go through everything.
They just didn't do it right. I think what they're doing now is they found a way to make fluff fun.
Yeah.
And because I would say most of those episodes are fluff episodes. Like, there's four episodes where Go doesn't even get a Pokemon, and they're still fun.
Because I like the whole championship kind of like,
you
have a number and you have to raise your number battling other people.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool.
I'm very excited by it. Like, the anime's got a lot of potential now. I like where Journeys is going. The only thing I don't like is just like the obvious, like, Pokemon Go is a pillar of us now. It makes me sad. It makes me sad because, like, I definitely agree that, like, Pokemon Go is a huge thing. Also, I feel like TPCI, this is a completely off topic from what we're talking about. I feel like TPCI has this love affair with Pokemon Quest that nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be because, like, if you watch the first episode of Journeys, there's, like, a Pokemon Quest reference in it because they have, like, Pokemon Quest art in it. And then you look again at, like, Isle of Armor, and you've got Mustard playing Pokemon Quest on a Switch. And I just feel like TPCI really loves Pokemon Quest, but nobody else loves Pokemon Quest.
I think they want it to be something much more than it became.
I would say that's probably true for everything that they come up with. Like, they want everything to be the next Pokemon Go.
It's not.
You're not going to do that because of what Pokemon Go is. Like, Pokemon Go is hype because Pokemon Go is catching Pokemon in the real world on your phone.
It hit a niche. It hit a emotional resonant point.
Exactly.
That you have to match.
Yes.
And you can't match that because it's so specific.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what they wanted from Pokemon Masters, which they obviously didn't get. They've wanted that from Pokemon Quest. I don't think they want that from Pokemon Cafe. I think they just wanted something to replace Pokemon Shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Like, to see those kinds of games come out and just see, like, a lack of... I don't want to say, like, a lack of care, but, like, I feel like they could take that energy and put it into something else that would be a really cool, like, love letter to their fans. And I feel like TPCI just doesn't do that all the time.
I think what it comes down to is, animation or otherwise, they need to ask themselves a very simple question. It's the same reason that Quest failed. It's the same reason that Cafe Mix won't be a big thing. It's the same reason Masters failed, is they need to ask themselves, whenever they're making their next product, what fantasy do we want to appeal to, and how do we get that into the hands of our fans? Because I think they're just kind of guessing at this point.
And I think they're just throwing things at the wall. That's why we got Pokemon Unite. I'm not going to lie.
Like, that's how you get Pokemon Unite. I'm, like, super pumped for it.
Pokemon Unite, I'm only excited for it because I am more than willing to, like, sponsor a team to play at Nationals or something. Like, I'd love to do it. Like, we don't even have to be good because we're going to be one of 16 teams that walk up there, okay?
It depends, because it could be a really good game. Like, we don't know much about it yet.
That's, I don't feel too good about it. Like, I feel like it fills a niche. I feel like the niche that it fills can also, like, so what worries me is it's run by Tencent. And outside of, like, the moral implications of it being run by Tencent, Tencent also runs, like, League of Legends, right?
Yes. And
so League of Legends is, like, a MOBA.
I'm fine with a Pokemon version of League of Legends. That sounds fun.
No, so we are not the... We are a bad example. I'm thinking of the typical person, but it reminds me a lot of the story of the Pokemon TCG. When the Pokemon TCG was owned by Wizards for the longest time, the reason TPCI took the TCG back was because Wizards stopped having tournaments for Masters level players, you know, like we have now, because they wanted to use Pokemon as a gateway into Magic. And so they would only host Magic tournaments for people of like our age. And I can see something similar happening with Tencent, where they use Pokemon Unite as like a gateway to get kids into League of Legends and make them the most toxic fan base of all time.
Can you imagine Pokemon fans with League? No, we're already bad. Please don't.
I wouldn't say that the online Pokemon community is the healthiest community right now.
It's definitely better than other ones, though.
I was going to agree with you up until there was a death brigade for Joe Merrick during the whole Dexit thing, and after that, I think we're kind of grounds to eradicate the entire species.
I lost a lot of faith with Dexit. Like, I'm obviously not happy about it, but I was never like, hey, let's hunt down people for it. And people just got, like, way out of hand for that. It's not something that's great. I think that they could do really cool things, though. Like, getting a new anime would be fantastic. I would love it. I would love, like, an anime that's more mature. Mature is the right word. I don't want, like, an adult. They don't need to do, like, gruesome, gory things. But I would be super into, like, just following Red on his entire journey through Kanto, following Gold through his entire journey through Johto, and so on and so forth. And just giving me the story.
I think that would be good. I think 22 is probably a little tight if you want to have anything other than them just succeeding.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I'm just thinking like of lightening the load off them. I mean, you could skip some things, but you could hit a lot of nostalgia points in like a Pokemon Red and Blue anime. You know what I mean?
But do we really need to go back to Kanto anymore?
Don't start with Kanto. Start with something
else. Like, this is where they go to Sinnoh. Start Sinnoh release.
I think they've spent their Kanto nostalgia dollars. I definitely agree with that.
The problem is they still think they spend.
They tried. I think the moment that it really clicked for me that the fan base doesn't want that was like when the full decks leaked for Sword and Shield. People saw that Charizard was the only Kanto starter that made it. And there was a collective just like, are you kidding me? There's a collective, are you kidding me, in the community. And I'm just like, okay, so it's starting to break. Like, even the people who were just like, oh, Dexit can't be that bad. And then when they saw that was just Charizard, they're just like, okay, I'm over it.
Because it's clear pandering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would love to see them not have to lean on that. Don't lean on the pandering. Like, don't listen to me. Come up with something cool and unique that makes me still like it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Dynamax and Gigantamax were quite those things. Though Dynamax is more balanced, I would admit, than Z-moves.
As far as like VGC is considered, I really like Dynamax in it, because it makes everything a lot more interesting than just a normal doubles battle. So
I think Dynamax is a really cool thing, and they wanted, like, mechanically, I think it's very cool.
I'm trying to think of how it's... I don't know if I like it as much in the anime.
Hmm.
It doesn't make sense in the anime. It just kind of happens.
They follow the rules in the anime. If you pay attention, they only get three moves off.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
They only get three moves off. Yeah. Fun fact. Just pay attention.
It's not as big of a wow factor as like the Z moves were. As far as like animation and like those battles.
I do agree with that, but I don't care about the anime in terms of that stuff. I just think in terms of
that was the topic. So I'm trying to tie everything back
around.
That's
why we spent so much time talking about everything else.
All right, well, this is a good place to stop. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 471, Glaceon, the fresh snow Pokemon.
Its Moon Pokedex entry says, it freezes its fur into icicles, spiky and sharp, and tackles its prey.
That's a cool way to do it. It reminds me of Jolteon.
Except ice.
What's hilarious to me is that's the Pokemon it does that with its 60 attack instead of using its 130 special attack.
Yes. So I remember when Glaceon and Leafeon were announced in Gen 4, back in Gen 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember that, and I remember being super hyped, and then I was super disappointed. because neither of them were great. But Glaceon can be okay. So Glaceon's got a, I mean, it's an evolution, so it's got the same stats as the rest of them, just reorganized. So base 65 HP, not great. Base 60 attack, meh, if it's special attack's okay, which it is. Base 110 defense, that's pretty okay, except that's being ice type is kind of bad. Base 130 special attack, that's pretty decent for an ice type.
That's really good.
Yeah. And then base 95 special defense, not bad either.
No.
Base 65 speed kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Crippling.
So it's also an ice type. It doesn't have like great move pool. It doesn't have terrible move. Yeah, it does. But it doesn't have a great move pool.
All you need is ice and like Shadow Ball.
Yeah, that's all it gets. Lucky hit.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like the greatest move pool. It does get Snow Cloak and Ice Body as its two abilities, which are okay.
Maybe.
They're met at best. But we've got a team that Claude drove, so he can always tell us if something's better than we thought it was. So this team's obviously centered around Glaceon, holding choice specs with Snow Cloak so things can't hit it if the hail's going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 222 special attack, 36 special defense, and 252 speed. What's the 36 special defense for? Do you know, Claude?
Yep, it is. I don't know at all. Let me see if I can figure it, if they say anything about it. I think it might be to hit some base, like to.
It's to survive something, like a Dragapult or something, I'm sure. Timid Nature, Freeze Dry, Ice Beam, Blizzard, Shadow Ball. Wow, how many? Ice Beam and Blizzard. To be fair, I don't know what else you put there.
Well, so in doubles, there's times where, we're just going to go for the freeze chance and hit Blizzard and make that work. Or, we only target a single thing. Or Freeze Dry. Oh, there's a
Blizzard hits both opponents, too, so you get the power drop then.
Yeah, exactly. So it all depends on how much damage you want to do.
Rillaboom is also on this team. It's a G-Max, of course, because why not? Why not? It's got Grassy Surge, holding a Life Orb, Adamant Nature, 252 attack, 252 speed, Fake Out, Wood Hammer, Grassy Glide, Protect. That's a Rillaboom.
Yep, pretty much.
I don't know what else to say. That is a Rillaboom.
That's the same. Like Rillaboom right now.
Yes.
So the main pairing for this is Glaceon and Vanillux, which is also on this team. Holding a focus band. And you may be asking yourself, a focus band? Yes, a focus band, not a focus sash. And here's their reasoning behind it. If you have a focus sash, it activates only once when you're at full health, and you guaranteed live a hit. However, if you're not at full health, it's a useless item. Whereas a focus band can activate as many times as you get lucky, while not being at full health.
This reasoning's not good.
No, this is perfect reasoning. Because this can happen multiple times. And granted, it only activates every 10%, but you can just get lucky. And then
Okay, but that's like super lucky. Like, do you understand the percentage chance of hitting it twice?
Just hitting it once is 10%. You don't have to be at full health, though.
Yeah, but do you understand the percentage chance of having it happen twice is
1%? 1%, yeah. And 1% of the time, you will win more games.
And everyone's just trying to get their win rate up by like 1%, Thatch.
Exactly.
You've proven his point.
Thank you.
I don't know that I have, but that's okay.
But anyways, the Vanillux has Focus Band, Snow Warning, 252 Special Attack, 4 Special Defense, 252 Speed, Modest Nature, with Ice Beam, Freeze Dry, Blizzard, and Protect. And the main thing with this is between in the hail, Vanillux and Glaceon, if they both go for Blizzard, there's a 20% chance they're going to freeze something.
Oh, that's true.
So that's the whole point, is you freeze something, and now they're just...
That's not how percentages work, actually.
I think when you hit both of them with 10%, it says about 20%. It
doesn't add. So what you'd have to so the percentage chance of them getting frozen...
I'm pulling a calculator up.
Is 0.9 times 0.9, 1 minus that.
It's times 0.9 because there's two.
It's 0.9 squared. It's two, right? So it's one minus 0.9 squared.
So you have a roughly 65% chance that nothing gets frozen.
Yes.
Okay, 65% that nothing gets frozen,
and so 35% chance
it gets frozen.
It's better than 20. Yeah,
sure.
It's better than 20. That's why I was telling you don't add them.
All right, then it's 35% chance you freeze something if you hit both your blizzards on both of them.
Yes.
Which is really, really good.
That's not bad.
Especially VGC. Mm-hmm. And the other really fun mon we have here is Dracovish. Strong Jaw, 204 HP, 244 attack, 20 defense, 20 special defense, and only 20 speed, with an adamant nature, vicious rend, psychic fangs, low kick, and protect. And this Dracovish is holding a quick claw. And you have to ask yourself,
no.
A quick claw? Why not just run Choice Scarf? Well,
No. They don't ask why not run Choice Scarf. It's why not run a good item.
Choice Scarf is a good item, though, for Dracovish. Like, that's what they're comparing this to.
Yeah. They just said good item in general, though, because, like, or even anything that's not a quick claw. Like, why not just run no item?
Because quick claw is better than no item.
I don't know about
no,
that.
No, it's not. Poltergeist exists.
You have protect, and you can be faster than Poltergeist. So that's the thing. Like, when they were building this team, they were thinking, oh, Choice Scarf, you only get speed up. Granted, when people activate Trick Room.
They want priority. They want priority. That's
exactly. And that's the point of the Quick Claw, is you get priority and you can switch up your move whenever you want. And it's only a 20% activation. And the thing is, when you hit it off, like, your Vicious Wrens do so much more damage now that you don't have to worry about
it. The person's going to be so tilted when it actually happens.
Exactly. And that's the point. The point isn't to win. It's
like,
the
I could
condition isn't knocking the opponent's Pokemon out. It's making them so angry they miss a turn.
It's sending them a message that they shouldn't play.
I hate this team.
So this team ended up, I think, on like the Japanese ladder at the end of last season, like 9th place.
Oh my gosh.
So we've got two more members.
I've heard somebody, I hear somebody's just like really, really, really adamant about making this work.
So, the last two that we've got here, we have Incineroar with an Agwav Berry. It's got Intimidate because it's an Incineroar. It's got 236 HP, 228 attack, 4 defense, 12 special defense, and 28 speed. No idea what those are calc'd for, but they are.
Numbers.
They're numbers. It's got Fake Out, Flare Blitz, Lash Out, and Protect. It's a pretty basic Incineroar, except it doesn't have Parting Shot and is offensively invested, but hey, whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we've got Assault Vest Dragapult. It's running Clear Body because this is physical and there are too many Intimidators.
And there's too many Incineroars.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know any other Intimidator right now in VGC.
So I do know the HP stat, the HP EVs so that it hits 200 at level 50.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, what does that guarantee?
I think it lets it survive like a plus one hit from something.
Okay. 212 HP, it's physical, it's got only 44 points in speed, which is peculiar on a Dragapult, but this thing's so fast by nature, you still get to outspeed things.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think that's actually fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Sucker Punch to kill opposing Dragapult. It's got a Assault Vest, just for the reference here. It's got Phantom Force to stall out Dynamax, and just also to hit with a physical Ghost move. It's the only one it gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Dragon Darts to either do split damage or focus fire. It's a very good move in doubles. And Fly to max Airstream and stall out turns.
Yes. So this no one expects Dragapult to ever be Assault Vest. So you live a lot more hits.
Oh,
than
I'm
you
seeing.
Would
I'm seeing.
Ever
why.
Expect. And because Dragapult is just naturally a strong Pokemon in itself, you can fire back, and it's a great Gigantamax Mon. We have found out. Like, between being able to max Airstream and suddenly now you are the fastest thing on the field if you weren't beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can sucker punch other Dragapults that they don't expect. Because a lot of Dragapults in VGC are special, not necessarily physical. Or if they are, they're mixed or some kind.
So the reason that it's 44 speed EVs is because it's exactly what I thought. It's so it outruns all base 100 speeds.
Yep, it's 100. It outspeeds mainly Charizard.
Yes, it will outspeed Charizard. That is why.
And its reasoning for Assault Vest is the anti-Porygon-Z.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Porygon-Z is a monster when it maxes, mm-hmm. and difficult to deal with, and this deals with it.
Yep. Yep. I agree with that.
Porygon-Z is so good. Where's Porygon 2? Wait.
So, if you want to watch Claude and P. McGee crush some people with this team, you can go over to our YouTube channel and watch them do that.
Yep, this Wednesday.
Yep, this Wednesday. So on that note, we're going to kick things on over to the mailbag to read your emails.
It's mail time! send in your emails.
You got me!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag today is brought to you by Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 This is the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. You send them in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. We read them, mostly in private, but three of them get on the show. And hopefully spark discussion. We'll give you guys a cool role in the Discord if you spark some cool discussion. So let's go ahead and jump right into these emails. Last week, we wanted to ask you guys what made a Pokemon special to you. So we're gonna get into it. So this first one is going to be from Skullmane Banky. Hey there, Thatch and co-host and the community. Oh, he welcomed the community because those That's are the new. Only people left listening now.
Oh.
Skullmane Banky here. First email, and I'm writing in after a 12-hour shift, so please give me a break on grammar and stuff. You already have paragraphs. You're winning.
Yeah.
That's mostly how Thatch picks the emails now. It's just, does your email have paragraph breaks? When I think of my favorite Pokemon, obviously it's not an easy answer, since it changes pretty much every playthrough I do. As of recently, I adore Dunsparce due to a Black 2 playthrough, where I only used two of them for the whole game. But for the most special Pokemon, it has to be all of my Pokemon from my original Sapphire game. For my 11th birthday, I think, I got to pick out one third-gen game, so I chose Sapphire. But when the lady grabbed the game, she grabbed Ruby instead. But as a shy kid, I just accepted my fate.
Oh,
and it was still Pokemon, gosh. So it was great. No, I read this email. It's okay. The weekend after, my great-uncle brought a late present, and it was Sapphire. In my head, it was a bloody miracle. It never once had gone through my head that this was probably planned by my parents, since he was probably bought it before I got Ruby. I played it all the way through with a Swampert, Breloom, Crawdaunt, Zangoose, traded from the Ruby file I had started, Seviper, and a Ludicolo. I was looking forward to showing him that I beat the game he got me, but unfortunately he passed away before I had a chance to see him again, and he lived on the other side of Canada. Canada is a large place.
Oof.
So I have just had this team, plus some others from that save, slowly moving up through the generations with me. It's just great to have something he gave me join me through the years like that. Sorry for the sap and the long email, but thanks for reading, Skullmane Banky. Now, that was an appropriate length email.
Yes.
A very good email.
And it was very good, and it had paragraph breaks.
So far, that's my nominee for Green Taurus.
There was that. You think so? The Sapphire?
The best we've heard today.
Best we've heard so far.
Yeah. Alright, so the next one today is going to be from PokeFan Sleeve.
Alright. So, hi Puckle people. Sleeve here again to share some thoughts on what makes a Pokemon special. I think you hit the nail on the head in the last episode when you said it's the memories associated with the Pokemon. For instance, all Pokemon I've gotten through Puckle giveaways get given a nickname, such as PuckleGon 2, and more recently, PuckleRona, and become my favorite Pokemon because of that species.
That's an unfortunate name.
He did it. I think he did it on purpose, but that's fair.
Fair. I would also say that Pokemon that have made it through Nuzlocke become more special. You spend a lot of time with your team in a Nuzlocke and develop a lot of memories with that team. For instance, Graham the Eevee from my Crystal Nuzlocke will always hold a special place in my heart for the way he tanked a Hyper Beam from Lance's level 50 Dragonite. He had no right to survive that attack, and it won me the battle with no casualties. Big shout out to Graham the Eevee. You deserve it, buddy. Shout out to Claude.
Poor Claude.
Oh, poor Claude.
In the arms of the angels.
Anyways, those kinds of memories cause you to develop a bond with that specific Pokemon that make you want to transfer them up into your most recent games or keep them with you in home. Thanks a lot for the content you produce. Love the show and everything that goes on around it. Stay safe. Keep battling. Puckle Fan Sleeve, and Graham the Eevee.
The Eevee that tanked a Hyper Beam. How did that happen? I want details. How did that work? How does that work? Is it just like a stupid overleveled Eevee that somehow didn't evolve by then?
Do you want like the actual...
Game, it might not have been able to.
No. In Crystal, you absolutely could.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
The whole point, because that's why they like kept the evolutionary stones away from you in Gen 2 until post-game. So, outside of, like, the Sunstone. And maybe the Moonstone? They probably gave you a Moonstone. But it was, that they, like, kept, like, the Firestone, Leafstone, Thunderstone, and Waterstone all away from you. because they wanted you to use the new evolutions of the Pokemon that use those that were available.
They were all friendship. Oh.
I ran some numbers. Just
okay.
for fun.
Okay,
just to
I'm
see,
interested.
Like,
I'm interested on how an Eevee can tank a Hyper Beam from a Dragonite.
50 Dragonite.
So, if both of them are level 50, mm-hmm. no Eevees at all, like, no Eevees, and
yeah, yeah.
I think if you put no Eevees, that might change everything. But,
yeah.
Let me check that. Yeah, no Eevees, no Eevees in anything.
Yeah.
Hyper Beam can't kill an Eevee.
What?
If they're both...
level 50?
Let me make sure everything is as... neutral.
I actually believe that. Eevee's got, like, decent stats.
Like, a quirky Dragonite, level 50, no special attack at all. Hyper Beam only does, like, 73.
Well, Hyper Beam in Gen 2 wouldn't have been a special attack. It would have been a special attack.
Oh, physical. Never mind. Let me
would have been a physical
do the
attack,
wrong
yeah.
calc, then.
Look, I don't know how there can't be Eevees. It's right there. He's using a Hyper Beam on one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Speaking of which, let's move on to the next email from Devin the Duskull.
Hyper Beam just doesn't kill it from full health if they're both the same level. That's bizarre.
That's bizarre. Devin the Duskull.
Hey, Puckle pals. I've been listening for a little and was so excited to hear this most recent question because I love to talk about my personal most favorite, most special line, the Rock and Roll line. When Black and White came out, I bought a copy of both and gave one plus a used DS to my best friend. We just graduated high school and had a lot of free time that summer, and she'd never played a Pokemon game before. We had a blast just hanging out in my parents' basement, playing through and sending each other Pokemon with dumb names. I sent her a Roggenrola that ended up being her absolute favorite Pokemon. She didn't continue playing after we finished, but she still loves Roggenrola, and because of our memories together with it, I love it too. Gigalith is easily my favorite rock type, and Roggenrola was my first ever shiny when I recently started shiny hunting. Everything about the line makes me happy. Thanks for making me smile so often, Devin the Duskull.
Yeah, I like that though. Like that's a good reason. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to play Pokemon with your friends. You guilt them into it.
Yep.
No, it's a lot of fun. I love playing. Like I love when you can play with somebody at the same time. Like I've got a built-in friend now. That's my wife. But like before, I was dating my wife, or before we got married, it was cool. It was always cool to like have somebody get the game at the same time. So that you could experience that hype with somebody else. Like, we have the Puckle community, and I'm grateful for that. But, like, there's nothing like it having somebody, like, in real life do it with mm-hmm. you. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really good time if I can just be, like, hanging out in my living room 6 feet apart and go, hey, do you have this Pokemon? Because you got this version and I got this version. Let's trade. Let's get the version exclusives, you know? I really appreciate that kind of stuff. And Black and White, too, honestly. Like, or Black and White, I should say. Honestly, in retrospect, not bad games to do that with. At the time, I probably would not feel that way. But there's lots of trade evolutions to do and stuff like that. But I am glad that your friend really likes Roggenrola. It can be shiny in Pokemon Go this week. So yeah. That's cool. Also, Roggenrola has like a really solid shiny. Like it's got a good shiny. It's like purple with like the blue thing instead of the red thing on its head. It's pretty cool. I'm into it. But thank you for that email, Devin. Green Tauros badge time. I for one, would like to nominate Skullmane Banky. We received a lot of emails this week. I really need to start doing those things this week. But I really appreciate everybody who sent it in. I really need to start doing videos to just like show you guys how much. It'd actually be really good because somebody actually sent in an email that was just to like gush about modding Game Boy Advances with me. And he sent, like, pictures of the Game Boy Advances he's modded. And they're really cool, and he sent out this picture. And I unfortunately couldn't... you can't show that on a podcast. But if we did a video, I could show it on the video.
Well, there you go.
There we go. There's a solution. I will think about doing that this week. So, thank you once again for that. If you want to send an email in next week, you can send it to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Green Tauros badge, though. I think I personally want Skullmane Banky.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Perfect. Linian, you don't get a vote.
Okay.
Skullmane Banky, you get the Green Tauros badge. Just ask for it on the Discord server, or we'll see you and probably give it to you, because you're there all the time. Send in emails next week, though, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. We talked about the anime. What kind of anime would you like to see Pokemon make? That's the question next week.
Remember to do it in paragraph form, and you'll have a better chance of being read.
Honestly, yes.
Elevator pitches, folks. Elevator pitches.
Yeah, I don't want the 22 episode by episode synopsis, but like concept, guys. But thank you for that. If you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, the most important place to go is our Discord server, discord.gg. There's a T in there in the invite. It's also in the show notes. do that. But you can also follow us on social media over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can also follow us over on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where we're going to have that awesome 12-ish hour stream next week to help support Child's Play. So please come out for that. Also, please come over to the YouTube channel to watch Claude, myself, do stupid things. I'm playing a Nuzlocke. Claude also played the Nuzlocke with me last.
Yeah.
And then they're also doing their cool Pokemon of the episode videos to kind of tie things in. And I know a lot of people have been enjoying those. So please check that out. Let's see. That's where I go. And then I go, if you want to support the show, several ways to do so. Go over to Twitch. You can jump Twitch Prime membership over there. We really appreciate any support you can give us. You can also go over to TeePublic, buy any shirts. It really helps us out. And if you want to, go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast to just donate more directly, get access to cool things like giveaways. Next month, I think we're giving away Zarude and Celebi on Patreon.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
In case you don't want to go buy a movie ticket for a movie you won't see,
you can support your Puckle your local Puckle podcast.
Is it bad that I actually kind of want to see that movie?
So I will say that the trailer makes me think that it's going to be a good movie in spite of Zarude.
Yes.
The movie looks good in spite of Zarude. Zarude is like the worst part of that trailer. If it was honestly like anything, any other Pokemon, that would be a fantastic movie. But I digress. This is a good place to stop. Here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Linian.
And I've been Claude Knight.
And it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.